We're doing the Sfat Tamim. That's the Chafetz Chaim's work on the laws of the importance of telling the truth. And we're up to page Yud Tet. The Chafetz Chaim had discussed financial pressures and the fact that people keep upping the ante. They make more fancy weddings. They make more fancy bar mitzvahs. And then people feel like they have to live up to what everyone else is doing, and then they end up spending money which they don't have to impress people they don't like, and then they don't, he didn't say to impress people they don't like, but at any rate, people end up feeling a financial pressure that they cannot live up to while maintaining honest business practices. Sometimes, if people end up with very high expenses because they have to live up to what other people are doing, so people sometimes feel the financial burden is beyond their capacity, and they end up moving to locations where there isn't a strong Jewish background, where there isn't a strong Jewish infrastructure, where people don't have a shul. I remember as a child, we had friends who moved to a place where they didn't have a shul. They just lived far out of town. You had to drive 5-10 minutes to get to the closest shul, and the kids grew up without shul. They didn't go to shul on Shabbos. So sometimes people feel like they have to live up to all kinds of financial stresses that the Orthodox world can impose on a person, and the Chafetz Chaim is against that. He says we have to ensure that those pressures don't exist, and even if we can afford them, it's not fair because we're putting pressure on the next guy who cannot. So in the work, Shem Olam, he says the following. Od yesh sibot tzadiyot shebiglalan gam ken itrabantia liktzei eretz midei yom vayom. He says, you want to know why Jews are so scattered all over the world? There are other reasons. Shenitraban aga gvoa. He says, today we're very pampered, and we insist on living the high lifestyle. Ma'avonoteinu harabim min hashamayim en maskimin al zeh. And from above, they don't exactly agree to this pampered lifestyle. Now, he writes a parenthetical remark. He says, where does it stem from that people want to be so pampered? I was once riding with a relative who had a sunroof. So it was a beautiful day, and I asked him, can we open the roof? I've never been in a car with a sunroof. So he says, gee, I never opened the roof, but why not? Let's see if it works. So I said to myself, well, then why do you get a car with a sunroof? You know, if you can enjoy the breeze, you can enjoy the air. Why do you get such a car? I didn't ask him, but I asked myself. The Chafetz Chaim says, people very often are getting things not for the joy or benefit or pleasure that they can have from the object, but rather from the joy or benefit or pleasure they can have by showing other people they have that object. The desire for, social stature. Shekol echad rotze lidamot lemi shenemala imenu. People feel like they should be like the next guy. And if the next guy can do it, I should do it. You know what kind of hat the Chafetz Chaim wore? When I was a child, so they made us wear a hat to davening in school. So everyone else was wearing a black hat, and I got a hand-me-down gray hat. So I asked my parents if I could get a black hat, and I had the ill fortune of asking when my grandfather was around. So he looked at me and said, that's so interesting. Back in Europe, no one wore a black hat. Only the chief rabbi of the town wore a black hat. And the Chafetz Chaim, he didn't have a hat like all these fancy hats everyone wears. He wore a casket. What do you call that in English? Casket. You guys know what I'm talking about? Like they wear in Ireland, right?
A driver's cap.
Right. The Chafetz Chaim didn't wear one of these big hats. He couldn't afford it, so he didn't wear it. He wore the same hats the merchants wore, those little caps.
Maybe for Shabbat then.
I have a question.
Maybe. I met someone who saw him. There was someone in the neighborhood. I don't know if he's still around. There were two people in this neighborhood 5 years ago. They were both living in Crystal Clear who actually saw the Chafetz Chaim. I don't know if they're still alive. One I know is not. Another one, I don't know.
In my neighborhood, in Yivat Mordechai, the daughter of Chafetz Chaim was living. She passed away about, 15 years ago.
Question is there someone we can ask? Because one of the people in the neighborhood saw him at an event where they gathered all the rabbis of Europe. And he saw the Chafetz Chaim there. And I asked him, I don't remember what he answered me. I was wondering also, did he own a fancy hat? Okay, is it just in the picture, or did he not own one? I don't know. Yeah?
if that's the case with those black hats, why do people wear shtreimels?
It's a good question for a Thursday night. We'll get to it. Thursday night. Hey, bring it up. Yeah.
There are certain religious institutions, for example, in Jerusalem, where they will highlight the fact that, you know, if you wear nice clothes, it does have an effect on your personality.
I agree. That's why I bring nice clothes for free. I give out suits, I give out nice pants, I give out nice shirts. It's not mine, I collect it for the guys here because I think that the clothing we wear does affect us. You know, a guy walks into class every day with a sign that says, "Gratefully dead, wish you were with me." It's going to have a little bit of an impact on him. You dress a certain way, it does help a person feel different. But Chazal taught us that the dress a person wears should be middle of the ground, respectful middle, not respectful high class, respectful middle class. Meaning even if a person can afford it, a person should try to wear clothing that don't stand out, that they're better than everyone else, and neither should they be less than everyone else. And the clothing do affect us, it's true. But again, there's a balance here. I often tell the story. I can tell you many stories. I'll tell you one story. The Rosh Yeshiva of Merkaz Harav came to meet with one of the chief rabbis of the time. And at the end of the meeting, the Rav asked him, "How are you getting back to Jerusalem?" So he said, "The same way I came, by bus." So the Rav said to him, "Time is Torah." Took up money from his pocket and said, "Take a taxi back to Jerusalem." So that time the Rav took a taxi back to Jerusalem, but he continued riding by bus. And I saw Rav Feinstein and other great sages who all went by bus. The modest, humble way. They took a subway, they took a bus. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was once in a car, and the guy giving him a ride saw someone from the yeshiva walking on the sidewalk. So he was hesitant, should I offer him a ride or not? Because the back was full. So the Rav was sitting in the front. The back seat was full. So Rav Kamenetsky said, "I can squish over. Of course you should stop and offer him a ride." So he said, "But the Rav should sit like that, you know, squished with two people in the front." So he said, "If you don't offer someone," in Yiddish it works better. He said, "If you don't offer someone a ride with your car, you're not worth having the car." You have the car. Of course you should offer someone a ride. He'll sit uncomfortably. The little things, you know, modesty is a way of life. I had the good fortune of giving Rav Feinstein a ride. Whenever he'd get into the back seat, say he'd go sit on the hump, you know. There's the seat on the left is comfortable and the seat on the right is comfortable. So everyone will always honor him to get in first. Now, if everyone's getting in from one door, that means he'll end up getting the nice, comfortable seat. So he would right away slide over to the middle seat with the hump and sit there, which meant someone would go around, but then someone else would get a comfortable ride. And he'd get the uncomfortable ride. So, yes, there's a certain attitude that we say a person should dress respectfully because it affects a person. But a person should still think that that's not the most important thing here. The important thing is not the dress, and we don't go beyond the balanced middle of the road approach. We had a guy here, I never knew this exists. He walks in on a Thursday night, very upset. So another guy asked him, "What are you so upset about?" So he said, "I put my t-shirts in the dryer and they're gone." So I couldn't understand why was he so upset. And then I heard the guys talking in the back. They were $150 each t-shirt. I didn't know you had t-shirts for $150, but the thief knew. Because, you know, the guy knew and the thief knew. Okay. Why? That's not what Chazal wanted. You know, even though he could afford it, but that's not what Chazal wanted. Yeah.
Who's saying this?
Right now we're reading the Chafetz Chaim, quoting a work called Shem Olam.
In my experience with Chafetz Chaim guys, they dress in a black suit and a black hat.
Right. So today that's become the middle ground. I don't know why, but that's what's happened.
What's the high ground?
That's a good question. Maybe a Hamburg, right? I don't know. But, you know, someone once came with me. One of the guys here went from Machon Meir to one of the yeshivas where they wear black hats. So he said, "Could I go with you to buy a hat?" I said, "If you want to, but I can tell you what I do because it's very simple." So he said, no, I want to see how you buy a hat. I said, fine. There's one store which, as far as I know, has the best sales. I walk in and I ask them, what's the cheapest hat you have? I try it on and I leave. I said, you didn't have to come with me for that. I told you, it's very simple. You know, even with black hats, you can buy a black hat for 1,000 shekel. You can buy a black hat for 200 shekel. It doesn't have to be the 1,000 shekel hat. It's not a, you know. Chazal said, try to keep the middle of the ground within whatever society you're in. If you're in a hat in a society where they wear the hat, okay, so when in Rome, do as the Romans. If you're in a society where they don't, so then a person shouldn't. He uses the term luxus, which means being pampered. He says, if a person is always looking for being pampered, so you'll always find another level of being pampered. There's always better. And what happens is that a person is never willing to go down. A person's only willing to go up. But if you're accustomed to go to something, you're not going to go down. I'll give you a simple example. If I offered you a dial-up connection to the internet, you'd look like I was off the wall. Now, I remember when that was the only connection that existed. I remember when that was being pampered. I was taking a college course. I was the only one in yeshiva who had a dial-up connection. It was cheaper than going to the college. I did it online. But, you know, I remember feeling like, wow, I'm embarrassed. No one else has a dial-up connection. Go tell someone today, work on dial-up. Okay, we're not willing to take a step down. We're willing to take a step up. And what happens is, being that we're a society that keeps striving for being pampered even more, so then we find ourselves working our way down spiritually. And what happens is, a person's income can't meet the expectations he has. Now, I once went into a gas station. I looked for a payphone. So they looked at me like I was off the wall. Now, my cell phone battery was dead. So he looks at the cell phone and he says, so you're like all the other guys. I said, what do you mean? He said, so many people come in here with fancy cell phones, but they don't have any money charged on it to make any outgoing calls. So what do you need that cell phone for? So I wasn't going to argue with him. Okay, fine. I said, okay, thanks for the Mr. Shmuz, but where's the payphone, right? But people push themselves up the ladder and their income doesn't really justify it. And then what happens is they become more and more impoverished. You guys will see this. There are people who have fancy houses. There are people who have fancy cars. They don't have the money to buy the gasoline. There are people who have fancy houses and they have no heat. There are many people who do a lot to show you that they're well off, but they're not. And they're not going to show it. People reach a point where they don't have bread. And this is something which you can see around the neighborhood. Sometimes, if I'm in a different community, I'll see people from this community collecting charity. So I know there's one person who I did business with. I was in his house. He's adding an extension to his house. So how's he adding an extension to his house and going to another community to collect charity? So what's going on here? The Chafetz Chaim says people are looking for what they'd like and they're not thinking about what they can afford, and then they end up pulling themselves downward. If all my neighbors are doing an extension, I'm going to be the only one without. People reach a point where they have to leave their homes because they're so poor. And sometimes they leave the community and they leave the country. And these are things that we see on a daily basis. Very often we see people who leave the country. They make aliyah, they have high hopes, and then they try to live the American lifestyle here in Israel. You go to someone's house, he has Cheerios. Cheerios here in Israel is an expensive commodity. Why do you have to eat Cheerios? Cheerios is the standard American cereal. So in the United States, you can get it easily. Over here, it's very expensive. Frosted Flakes. So over here, it's not a standard item. You go to the shuk, you can buy a kilo of farina, of oatmeal, for 8 or 10 shekel. I'm not talking about the cheap one that's filled with bugs. I'm talking about freshly ground. 10 shekel, you got a kilo. Show me what cereal you buy for 10 shekel. It's healthy, you want to make it sweet, you add honey, you add sugar, your kids have a good meal. But people are out there to live the lifestyle they came from. They went up the notch, and then they come to Israel, and they're not ready to go down the notch. Someone asked me, how do you live without a car? I ask, how do you live with the car? You have to work another 4 hours a day to fund the car. The insurance, the upkeep, the test, the gas. How do you live with the car? I don't know how people maintain that expense. You got to work many hours just for that. Wouldn't you rather spend hours with your kid? You take a taxi when you need. But the bus service is great in this country. Maybe now with the train it's a little bit less good, but it's still good. Saying there's a... We work our way up, and then a person comes and makes aliyah and says, I'm going to live without air conditioning. What's so bad if you're in Jerusalem and you put on a fan? It's not that terrible. The Chafetz Chaim says this drives a person sometimes out of the country. And that's one of the mistakes that people make when they make aliyah. They want to replicate everything they had in the United States. You have things that are much better here. You have things in the material world which are not easy to keep up with. If you're going to buy Kleenex tissues here in Israel, you're paying double or triple the price you paid in the United States. Are you making double or triple your income there? I don't think so. You're making about a half or a third. So the Chafetz Chaim says this idea that we keep upping the notch on ourselves is something that slowly wears a person down and then ultimately defines for a person many decisions that he didn't count on, he didn't factor. You can't afford living here anymore, so suddenly you're going to live somewhere where the education is less good. Is that the way you decide where you live? I would think the first thing you consider is, where will I have good education for my kids? Where will I have a good community to bring up my children? But people's first question is, how will I afford it? If I need to afford a huge apartment or a huge house and a lawn and everything else that are on my list, so then I'm going to have to compromise and go to a community where I don't have good education and I don't have good community for my kids. I don't think that's the way to make the decision. But again, the Chafetz Chaim says we have to be careful as we advance in the material world. Very often that defines many of our decisions for us. Whereas if a person would take a step back and say, what's important to me, he might make these decisions differently. Hopefully he'll make the decisions differently.